Hey everyone, you're listening to Superwomen. Today's guest is the founder of Vintner's Daughter, this incredible face transforming oil I am obsessed with. April Gargiulo started the company after being so inspired by what she learned and found from her family's winery and what some of those same ingredients could do for our skin. Take a listen. Welcome to the podcast, April.
Thank you, Rebecca. I'm so happy to be here.
I know. I was excited to talk to you because I got home. Well, in addition, you know, I'm obsessed with your product. But the other night I got home and my daughter was like, I was rubbing this oil on.
I love this.
No. I got mad at her. She's like, I was rubbing the oil on my nanny, on our nanny's hands. And I was like, don't touch my oil. That's my vendor's daughter.
Oh my gosh. I think that that has actually caused fights, like fights in marriages and things too, where people are just not willing to share. I totally get it.
Well, she spilled my first purchase a long time ago, a couple years ago, and I freaked out on her then. So when she said she came back to the well to rub it on my nanny's hands, I was like, no, sister, you stay away from my stuff.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. I mean, I don't even put it on my hands. That feels very luxurious.
Right? I know. Well, anyways, I thought you'd appreciate that story.
I do.
So
I'm sure your nanny's hands are glowing.
They're so soft and smell divine. So I came across you, I believe I was at a Goop pop-up shop many years ago, and I fell in love with your product. And then we're a part of, you know, a women's group together. So I would just love to have you start at the beginning. What got you excited about this to pursue beauty and this beautiful magic that you've created?
Gosh, well, I'll give you a little bit of background. So my background is in the wine business. My family makes wine in Napa Valley. And so I was really lucky to grow up in a community that places such a high value on quality and craftsmanship and, you know, doing everything it takes to make the very finest of something. And it was very much instilled in me at a young age that you can't cut corners and you can't take shortcuts if you want to make the best of anything. And so that really, I wasn't thinking about this as a kid, obviously, but as an adult, I can say that I think that really informed my definition of what luxury is, like a true luxury. And I was also somebody who, you know, I struggled with my skin. I had cystic acne, I had pigmentation, I had, you know, then all the things that just come along as you get older, and was using what I thought were the, you know, some of the finest products in the world, certainly some of the most expensive products. And I was pregnant with my first daughter. And a super familiar refrain for first-time moms, maybe this was you, I started looking at the ingredients of all of these so-called luxury products I was using, and I could not believe how cheaply made they were. I could not believe that they were, you know, 0.01% active ingredient. The rest was filler. That filler, in many cases, was toxic to myself and the environment. And none of that added up to that idea of luxury that I had as a, you know, that I had been brought up with, where you begin with the finest raw materials and you honor those materials through very meticulous and diligent craftsmanship, and you create something that's even greater than the sum of its parts. And, you know, to me, that was like heroic in a way. And I wanted to bring that to skincare. I wanted to create a true luxury skincare company founded off those same principles of quality and craftsmanship as the world of fine winemaking that I had come from. So that was really the genesis of Vintner's Daughter.
So was it an easy transition to go from knowing what you knew about your family and the wine industry into beauty, or were you just learning an entirely new skill set?
Well, I think what I did was, I mean, I'm certainly in so many ways Vintner's Daughter, and the way that we've, you know, created this very mission-driven company is very much like a salmon swimming upstream so I was applying these ideas around craftsmanship and quality and to creating skincare. And I was creating these formulas that were taking weeks, you know, it took for Active Botanical Serum, every bottle, it takes 3 weeks to make. For our other product, Active Treatment Essence, it takes 5 weeks to make. So these are really advanced, complex formulas. And I was so excited about them. And they had just kind of had this transformative effect on my skin. And I went to a lab, you know, the best labs in the country. And I got turned away, like literally one after another, I got turned away. And it was kind of devastating at the time, to be honest. And I just thought, oh my God, okay. Like they kept saying, okay, so these formulas that I was making, they took 3 weeks and we started whole plants. I didn't want to use synthetics or powders or extracts, right? To me, that was this idea that was cutting corners, that was taking shortcuts, right? And if you want to make the finest of something, you start with the best raw materials, right? So this is my mindset. This is where I'm coming from. And these labs are telling me over and over again, no, that's not the way we do it. You know, we don't spend over like 3 to 6 hours making a product. Trust us, like this very kind of proverbial pat on the head. Trust us, like we know, you know, it'll be cheaper, faster, better if you do it our way. And I knew I didn't want to do it their way, but I wasn't sure how I was going to do it my way, right? I mean, now I look back on it and it was this opportunity to really kind of like sharpen my resolve around the kind of products I wanted to make and like where I was willing to compromise and you know, more important, where I absolutely wasn't willing to compromise. But at the time it was you know, I'd spent 2 years developing the formula and then to be told like, no way, like we can't do it was, you know, super devastating.
So when you went to go, okay, no one does it this way, here's how I'm going to do it this way. Mm-hmm. You know, what did you run into as far as supply chain cost? Because, you know, I was just told by, you know, my beauty partner, you know, we want to put the mist in a plastic container. And I was like, no, find sugarcane, find something sustainable, recyclable. Right. My whole ethos with the fragrance was about that. Right. And now I'm just going to use plastic so you can make your margin. They're like, well, we won't make a margin and then we won't have a business. And so, you know, I'm being stubborn, but I'm also like, okay, how do I give these people what they need to survive? Right. And I'm sure you ran into that over and over again.
Well, oh, absolutely. I mean, partly I was lucky because of the industry I was coming from. I was coming from the winemaking world. It takes 3 years to make a bottle of wine. So I thought 3 weeks was literally nothing. I thought we're going to make the finest skincare in the world and it's only going to take 3 weeks. And they're kind of looking at me like, you're crazy. And so there was a little bit of, I mean, you probably maybe know experience as well. I don't know. But like, there's just like a little bit of like sort of naivete also. And so I just kept pushing and pushing and finally found somebody who I remember when I found them and I would bring like donuts and cupcakes and bagels and all the things to try to convince them to work with me. And they would be like, April, nobody does this. Like we haven't done this since the 60s. Nobody makes product like this. And I thought, well, yeah, I'm about to. And I think, to be honest, I think that they were like, okay, we're going to make, I can't even remember what the first run was. I remember they wanted me to make like 10,000. And I thought, oh God, how am I ever going to make that? So, I mean, it was a much smaller run. I'm sure they thought we're going to do this once and we're never going to see this girl again. Listen, I don't have investors. I don't know that I would be able to be hold so steady and not compromise on the quality and the craftsmanship aspect of everything which we do, which is really what drives the performance, this sort of incredible performance of our products in the skin. I don't know that I would be able to have that almost like that luxury if I had investors. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, a friend of mine who just left the beauty industry and is looking into olive oil as her next big business was saying, you know, luxury should be all about that every step of the way, the supply chain benefits, nothing is squeezed from anybody and it's sustainably made and it's, you know, responsible. She's like, what luxury should be instead of this. I'm going to pay $5,000 for a bag that was made in China. That people weren't paid fair wages, you know, I feel like that's what you're doing is exactly you.
And we've done it since day one. I mean, we have this very conscious supply chain like this, and it's something that we have worked on since day one and gotten better at day one. I mean, it's sustainability is from an environmental standpoint, but also sustainability from a social impact standpoint. 2% of every bottle we have ever sold goes to charity. And so that's, you know, 2% is a big number. Most companies who are on the far end of, you know, charitable giving is like 1%. And so we're like, you know, thrilled to be able to do that. And we get to work with incredible charities benefiting women and children around the world and have done some incredible work. And so these are things that are just literally, they're woven into everything we do.
So how did you stay strong in your mission and grow? Because I think sometimes there's a lot of compromise that comes with growth. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's it, right? Okay. So I have this, like, I don't even get press or articles or things written about us because we don't have new all the time. Mm-hmm. So part of our mission is fewer and better, right? To me, that's luxury, right? That is that not this constant churn of new and next and new and next that doesn't benefit skin and certainly doesn't benefit the earth. And so, you know, a very big part of what we do is fewer and better. So we create better products so you can use fewer. And so we have two products that delivers everything your skin needs. And so, you know, that is a challenge to growth. Growth is very much fueled by new in many cases, right? But for us, we have challenged ourselves to find growth in having incredibly loyal customers, in having, you know, incredibly high retention rates, having incredibly high conversion rates. And no, do we grow? I mean, yes, listen, there's been years that we've grown at 200, 300, you know, these crazy kind of, you know, things. But I am really happy. And this is like this crazy, I get kind of insecure saying this because it's so different than anyone else. And I realize that. So it's not, you know, anyone listening who thinks I'm just being naive. No, I understand the alternative. But, you know, our goal is to grow between 25 and 30% every year and have this like really healthy, healthy business.
And how did those plans change or get better or worse during the pandemic? I know for me, when I began to consume beauty because I was like, I'm tired. What makes my skin?
Right. And
what
Zoom makes me and everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the pandemic's been really interesting for us. So kind of deep COVID was, you know, our poor, we haven't, so we're about 50, beginning pre-COVID, we were 50% retailer, 50% DTC through our website. And then of course, you know, and we have beautiful retailers like this, just this network of small independent tastemaker retailers around the world, like 200 of them. Right. And they got hit hard at the beginning, but they very much had, they just had really strong customers and really strong clienteling, and they were able to maintain. And so, you know, at the very beginning, our wholesale channel took a dip, our DTC went up. And then that has kind of slowly balanced itself back out.
As you've seen that balance back out, was that something that back into a ratio you preferred?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good question. So I've never been, and I know that obviously DTC was all the rage. I've always been an omni-channel person. Like I've always been somebody who has firmly believed that I want my brand to exist in many different places, wherever my customer is. And again, we've got this community of extraordinary retailers around the world. So, I always want them to grow in together. So 50-50 is like a beautiful, gorgeous place for us to be.
Would you say that as more and more people are discovering beauty or, you know, beginning to sort of say, wait, maybe I care about what goes on my skin, what do you think has been a turning point for your company in delivering that message and sort of standing out? Because now there's tons of sustainable brands and non-toxic and all these things. So what have you done to make yourself?
I think that's a great question.
Yeah.
So, you know, the way we make product, again, still the way we make product, there's just really nothing else like it. Most product, even most natural products are made in 6 hours or less, right? They're made with kind of powders and extracts and they're made fast. You know, we are creating something over the course of 3 to 5 weeks. It's almost like the difference between ready to wear and couture, right? It's this, the quality of the materials is just very different. And we do that, not so that I can sit here and talk about that. We do that because we want to create products that have this like very, very deep connection to the skin and our skin and these whole plants that we begin with. And these plants are, you know, they're some of the most nutrient dense plants in the world that we begin with. Plants like alfalfa and dandelion and nettle and heliochrysum and ginkgo and these plants that have been revered and beloved for centuries across cultures for their medicinal and nutritional benefits. And we begin with them as these gorgeous whole organic plants. And over the course of 3 weeks, we're capturing all of their like just all this beautiful nutrition and all their actives. And we're able to capture it in all these like beautiful, like most optimal ratios, right? Because there's certain nutrients that need other nutrients in order for your body to recognize them and put them to work. And so we're able to preserve and capture all those beautiful nutrients and all those ratios and the actives, and the skin recognizes it because the skin and those plants almost metabolize nutrients in very much the same way. They're like built from the same nutritive structures. And so the skin recognizes these gorgeous formulas that we're giving it, and it's able to become its very best, right? We're able to amplify the skin's own powers of healing and balancing and brightening and all the things. And so, you know, I can say that, and I think some people get that, and then for some people it feels like a lot. But then I can say, okay, imagine feeding your body a meal replacement bar that's been made in a lab with all synthetic materials. It's wrapped in a shiny plastic wrapper. It can sit on a shelf for 15 years. Now imagine a beautifully prepared plate of food made from fresh, organic, nutrient-rich ingredients. Which is going to service your body at a deeper level? Which is going to bring about more health and resilience and strength in your body? What's going to make you feel best? And I think that is a big unlock for people, recognizing that. And of course, the products that we're making are more like that beautifully prepared plate of food.
How long does my beautifully prepared plate of food last, since I'm so precious with it?
Do you mean like literally how many, like, okay, so you open a bottle, you apply it AM and PM, it's going to last anywhere between like 10 to 12 weeks.
Yep.
Assuming your daughter isn't doling it out.
Yes, as long as she's not rubbing it on other people's hands. Like, the shelf life of this is...
Oh, and then, like, the shelf life is 18 months.
18 months. Oh, so that's amazing. That's still a long time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a, you know, these are, again, I keep saying it, but these are really complex formulas. And so with Active Botanical Serum, which is our moisture step, an oil is something that is a very... It can last if it's well protected in a bottle that protects it. It could last for, you know, 18 months plus. And then our essence is fermented. So when you use it, it smells like kombucha. And of course, fermentation is this ancient step that preserves the life of things, right? Think about wine, think about whatever, sauerkraut, right? It's fermentation is this magical process that allows things to become more shelf stable longer. And so that's one of the things that really helps us with essence as well, because it's an aqueous formula.
Right. Okay. And so what would you say have been your challenges as you grew this business, if they were personal, yeah, professional? Mm-hmm. I mean, you could probably say tons, as we all have experienced, but were there any that stuck out, and what did you learn from them?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I think having, again, not kind of playing into this constant barrage of new and next has been really hard. I mean, it is challenging. I, you know, to the point where, like I said, we don't get the same press. We don't get the same kind of like recognition or like moments, right? So much about newness is about driving sales for everything else, right? New has this like halo effect over everything else. And so that is a challenge. I remember, you know, Active Botanical Serum, our first product, was released in 2013. I can remember very distinctly going to retailers, and at this point, no one had ever had a single product before. I mean, still to this day, no one's ever had a single product. We had a single product for 5 years. That's just never been done. Or even two for 10 years. It just hasn't been done in the luxury space. And so, you know, I would go to these retailers and they loved the product. They were so excited about the product of Active Botanical Serum. And they would tell me, you know what? We love it. Call us back when you have three more. And I've said, well, I don't know that we will. And they said, we don't know how to market it. We don't know how to merchandise it. We don't know how to talk about it if it's not part of a system, right? I mean, this was at the time, the kind of apotheosis, which is probably still happening today, but this kind of, you know, zeitgeist around, you know, 10 steps, 12 steps, 15 steps, you know, it was like, you know, that funny old saying about like the higher your hair, the closer to God. It was like the more steps, the closer to God in your skincare routine.
I mean, I've never understood any woman who's a mother and or works, how she has any time to do these 12 step routines. I'm like, where did you get an hour of your day? Because I have 5 minutes to get ready in the morning.
Right. Exactly. And that's me, right? And by the way, I don't want to compromise anything. I still want all the performance, but I want it in fewer steps. And so that's a huge driving force in any product we create. It has to be this extraordinary quality craftsmanship. And we do that to drive this incredible multi-beneficial performance that in two steps, you know, active treatment essence followed by active botanical serum, you literally get everything your skin needs, all the hydration, all the moisture, all the nutrients, all the actives. In these like perfect ratios. And so, I mean, that was what was driving me. But I mean, still today, it's a hard conversation with retailers, right? You don't get the same shelf space. You don't get the same attention. I think that one of them I remember telling me saying, you know, I said, okay, this is this one product. They wanted to bring it in. And they said, listen, just introduce 5 more products. It doesn't even matter. Just slap your label on anything. You have your hero product. Like, who? This is a true story. It doesn't even matter. Just like put 5 more products up there, right? And so, you know, from a sustainability standpoint, everyone always wants to talk about like, you know, like the materials and the, you know, what's recyclable, what's not. But the reality is that if we all just consumed less, we would be far better off.
For sure. And I think that at least for me, since becoming a mom, that's been my focus is how do I consume less and how do I have it be better and women owned?
Exactly.
And healthy for our planet.
Yes. And healthy for the people who make it, healthy for the communities where it comes from, all of it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So tell me, I know that you mentioned, you know, you've been able to give a percentage back to women and children's charities. What are they so that people can get even more excited about the product?
We have a full list on our website, but we work with Every Mother Counts. We have like these incredible charities who are training midwives. Which we're really excited about that. We've worked with Charity Water.
You had me at Midwives and you had me at Every Mother Counts. Those are
I know, like, right? Exactly. Yes. I mean, we work with some incredible charities. I mean, the full list, of course, I'm on the spot right now and my brain just went completely blank.
That's
but,
fine.
Yeah, we're really proud of them and they're like wonderful partners. And again, the focus is on mothers and children.
Awesome. So let's get into the sustainability part of this. I don't think that people realize how many different chemicals are in fragrances and we're putting them on our body. Now I look at the back of something and if it's something I can't understand, I usually won't buy it. So I know that's been very important to you. So why shouldn't we put this stuff on our body? What happens to us?
Well, I mean, listen, there it is. It's something that it's let's talk about it from the community again. Like I said, you know, like the community that it comes from, the people who are working in those factories, how it affects them, how it affects their water, the cleanliness of their water. And then us, when we're using it directly on our skin, how it is disposed of, what it can do to contaminate our water sources, our ground, our earth. It's much deeper than just, you know, literally our skin, right? I mean, there's so many layers to it. And, you know, not everything that is synthetic is obviously evil, but there is, I think the consumer really needs to be aware of what they are, what they're using on their bodies and in their house. I think it's hard. I think it's really hard, right? And so what I always tell people is find retailers that you really trust, you know, what the standards by which they measure products that they bring into their store or into their assortment.
Okay. But on that note, I've had a store say to me, and by no means am I perfect, right? I've eliminated as much plastic from my supply chain as possible. Mm-hmm. And when I said to a very large retailer, I'm going to ship you cardboard hangers because you can recycle them, unlike the plastic ones, they're like, we'll charge you $5 per. Do it.
What?
And I was like, cool. Guess I won't be doing that because I can't absorb that cost. So have you run into ridiculousness, things like that? And are you just like, cool, I'm not going to sell to you? Or do you try and
educate them
and bring them along?
I'm really lucky we haven't. But remember, I'm not working with any you know, huge retailers. We are on the, you know, I don't work, and I'm not, well, whatever, I'm not going to call out any names, but we don't work with huge retailers. I'm not on the floor of, by choice, right? It's something that I think, you know, you walk into a typical department store and there are, you know, cathedrals, chateaus built in there devoted to skincare brands. And again, it's a model that I just inherently don't believe in. And the costs associated with it, I can't participate in. And so, you know, my two little products get put on some shelf next to the bathroom, you know what I mean? And so we've just chosen to kind of take ourselves out of that part of the skincare world.
So when you have people listening, because, you know, I can get sort of brought up in the, you know, I want a big company. I want, you know, big company.
It's hard, Rebecca. It's so hard, right?
It's hard because you get on that bandwagon. And
I know,
like,
believe me.
You know,
and everybody you know is on that bandwagon, and everybody in every article you read about is on that bandwagon, and every you know magazine cover is somebody. It's like everybody is awarded for growth
yes.
over everything, right?
Yeah.
And it's something I struggle with a lot, to be completely honest with you. It's absolutely, I mean, you just hit the nail on the head. It's something that I think about, like, why can't I just like sell out and grow?
You know what I mean? I don't think anyone should sell out and grow, but that feeling that you're missing out or things could be better, or I could have, you know, I could pay my bills easier, whatever it is, right? People, all their reasons are hard after a while sometimes. I remember when we made that shift, right? Where I was like, let's just be a small, profitable, successful company. And my partners at the time were like, big, grow, no, explode it. And, you know, a lot got compromised in that decision.
Wait, can you tell me more about that? Because that's fascinating.
Yeah, it was right as the recession was hitting. And
2009? When?
Yeah. 2008, okay. 2009. We had to lower. And so basically every store that we worked with said, lower your prices or we can't sell you anymore.
Wow.
Don't take anything out of your product, but go from a bag that's $4.95 and $5.95 down to $2.95 and $1.95.
Wow.
And my partners at the time were like, yes, this is the model. We're going to grow. We're going to cross the threshold, become the size of a Michael Kors or, you know, a Kate Spade, these billion-dollar brands. And you go, oh, maybe life will be easier if I just do that because, you know, every week we're worried about payroll and, you know, we're a small growing company. And I just was like, what do I know? I'll listen to the people that know better than me, which was a regret I have and will forever have. And it fundamentally changes your decision and what you decide to do when. And so I just was curious for you, like, how have you managed to just stick to your fucking guns?
Well, I don't have investors or partners, so it's just me. And I have a team that I adore and look up to, and I feel like I have to do them proud. I have two girls that I feel like I have to do proud. I feel like I have the legacy of, in this, you know, I'm sure Napa Valley doesn't feel like this, but I feel like I have the legacy of all the people who created, you know, this magical place in California that's all about quality. And I feel like I have to live up to that. And so I think that for me, I've been so clear about mission driven. And some days, I mean, Rebecca, sometimes I literally are like, well, you know, it might go away tomorrow. Like, am I okay with that? Like, how do I feel about that? You know? And so it's always a struggle. I mean, I don't have a single other friend, by the way, or, you know, that are in the other entrepreneur friend who is I just met one recently, actually, that's taking a similar path, who's saying, no, I'm going to build this like slow growth company, right? It's not about fast. It's about slow and steady and really creating just like deep connections with our customers. And I don't know, who knows? I may have gotten this completely wrong. Who knows?
I don't think so. I think it's where the world is going and has to go, right? For us to even have a place to live at the end of the day.
I mean, I I absolutely believe that. I hope that. It's funny. Every day, you know, as I do this every day, I think I'm starting a revolution. I literally think I'm like starting a revolution. And every day I'm like, okay, where is everybody? Hey, hello. Anybody hear me?
I know. And then everyone wakes up and you're like, I've been here for a long time and I've been alone, yes. You know?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Not on the sustainable side, but like we did QR codes in our bags 4 years ago. And people are like, what the fuck do you do with a QR code? And why is it in my bag? And I was like, it unlocks rewards. It has content. You know, you can trace the bag.
Are you trying
to track
me?
It's authentic. And now it's like, oh, thanks, guys. I'm so glad we gave up on that idea.
Oh my gosh, right? I mean, that really took COVID and people going to restaurants and needing to look at a menu, right? I mean, is that totally really what unlocked that?
Yes. COVID and the menu unlocked the brilliantness that we had 4 years ago.
Well, you were ahead of your time.
Sometimes it's painful being ahead of our time.
Oh, I understand.
So what is something you do to recharge, to refuel yourself? Mm-hmm. I mean, you live in Napa and you have a winery close by, so I know that you have access to that beauty. But are there things that you do as a solo founder?
Yeah. I love, okay, so, you know, I am going to bend your ear one of these days. So I love one of the things that I did not anticipate in starting this company was the incredible community of like just like really smart, passionate, creative women that I would get to be around, right? Whether it's even, you know, my team, my customers, other founders. So that is something that is like a really big support network for me. I mean, obviously, first and foremost, my family, my kids. I love nature. Like being in nature is something that is like deeply centering for me, just a hike or a walk or whatever. It's really something that just balances me. And I can find the answer there. I mean, the answer's in me, right? But I can kind of find the stillness there to like feel it and see it and get comfortable with it if I'm trying to like kind of figure something out or understand something. And then, I mean, I haven't done it in a while, but travel. I love travel.
Yes. I'm traveling so much in the next few weeks. I feel like I make it up for lost
work
time.
Travel or like fun travel?
You know, it's both. I'm able to bring my kids and my husband is actually coming along because he has work too there. So it's all working out.
Where are you going?
We're going to Austin. We're going to Los Angeles. Right. There's a
South by.
Yes, yes.
That's but right. Fun.
Yeah, making it fun. All right, I could talk to you all day, but I'm going to ask you two more questions and then I'll let you go. What is a piece of advice you've either learned the hard way or someone gave to you that has turned out to be very fruitful?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, there's so many along the way, right? I think, you know, it's the one that's the hardest to listen to almost, but it's the one that's always with you. And I think always gives you the right answer is like, it's your intuition, right? It's what you know is what's right for you. Like even, you know, I was listening to you tell the story about that, you know, 2009, when you were presented with, you know, you wanted to do something and your investors wanted to do something else. And you had such a close connection to that brand, your brand is you, right? And so you really knew probably what the right answer is. I mean, coulda, shoulda, woulda, right? But I think there's those moments where like, you know, you, as soon as you kind of step outside of that mission for me or that North Star, you know, as soon as you kind of take a step that's not heading towards that, like I feel it really deeply. So, you know, I would say like, trust that, learn to hear that, learn to give that space and time. And that's really not easy. And yeah, I mean, I think focusing on team is really important at all. You know, some people are going to get on the bus, people are going to get off the bus, but creating like a culture that really supports people and your team and doing their best work, I think is really important too.
I love that. And then my last question, what is something we'd be surprised to know about you? It can be a quirk, a habit.
I mean, the thing that I think always surprises people, unless you are one of my kind of nearest and dearest, is that I'm like a giant introvert.
I would not have thought that at all.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yes. I am a giant introvert. So that's,
you're not trying to be speaking and on all these International Women's Day panels and talking on TV, all that stuff, or you're fine with that? Well, it's more other.
I'm fine with that. Like, it's interesting because, you know, I did this talk. Well, this is obviously pre-COVID, but it was a talk, and I don't know, there must have been like 500 or 600 people in the room, and I had never done anything like that before. And that felt great. Like, that felt like something I was really comfortable with. But like the room afterwards where everyone's mingling and kind of talking is, you know, not my comfort zone at all. So, yeah, I don't know. It's all there's all sorts of shades of gray, I suppose.
Yes. I'm always shocked when I meet someone who totally doesn't seem like an introvert and they're like, yeah, I'm very shy. And I was like, weird. Okay. Wouldn't have thought that. So I did have one other question, which, you know, you're so thoughtful about the ingredients that go on your skin. Are you just as committed, whether it's what you bring into your home products wise or the wine you drink? Like, have you been able to make this a life?
I mean, as much as I can, right? I mean, yeah. I try. You know, my kids beg for Oreos like every other kid, right? So like stuff like that comes into my house. But, you know, wine, I think, is a really interesting one because, you know, I'm obviously really familiar with how wine gets made, and we're very pure about it at my family winery. Like, it's grapes, right? There's nothing else but grapes in it. But I very much want to see wines have to have an ingredients on their label because I know that there are other things besides grapes that end up in wines sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I very much want to know what that is. And right now, that does not need to be put on a label, right? And so if a winery uses cherry flavor number 10 or oak flavor number 9, like, I want to know what that is, and I want to know what it's made out of. And so that is a really, I know it sounds benevolent or benign, I guess, but that is a like extraordinarily controversial thing to say within the wine world. But I want ingredients on my wine label.
I do too.
Yeah. Yeah, I want it on anything. It's interesting. Nothing with alcohol, you don't have to buy any, nothing with alcohol requires the ingredients. I mean, I guess these pre-mixed cocktails now do, but it's interesting that so many of them don't have to put exactly what's in it on the label.
But that's nuts. Well, I'm glad that your family's committed to that. And yeah, that's very important.
I don't know how important it is in the grand scheme of things, but it's something that I definitely would like to see happen.
Well, I think if you already know that drinking just alcohol has certain negative side effects, right? At least everything else is part of it. Could be good for you, not bad for you. I just wanted to thank you guys for listening to today's episode. I also want to ask you to rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I know it's a pain in the butt, but it actually helps with search and algorithms. So if you love this podcast, it is an easy way to get it more visible and out there. I also want you to follow me on Instagram at Rebecca Minkoff, at RM Superwomen, and be sure to check out my book, Fearless, The New Rules for Unlocking Creativity, Courage, and Success. Thank you again, and you will hear from me next week.